thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I am Wole here, my boy Will T. I'm patching him in. Ray Jeezy's out. Also, man, we were supposed to do the we start that, you know, when we start, we've been starting the show doing the PG Baller series, but something came up, one of my guests, so we're just going to do it like, you know, old school version of the Urban Sports thing. What's going on, Will T?
I don't know who Will T is. I go by Bill.
Oh, sorry. What's going on, Bill? How you doing, Bill?
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm doing fine. And yourself?
Fine, sir. Fine. So, okay. Well, all right. Bill and Wole. Okay. We can rock with this.
I'm trying to be more inclusive.
Bill. All right. Have you ever called yourself Bill all around?
Around? I'm joking.
I know, man. I know. I'm just saying. I hate
being called that. You know, for some reason, when people meet you.
Yeah.
And they automatically think because other people, and it's pretty, you know, I'm pretty sure everyone's figured out what my real name is.
Yeah.
William. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
People assume that you want to be called Bill.
I know.
I tell people all the time, I don't go by Bill. I go by Will.
I feel like, but all right.
But
so,
still, people consistently still want to call you, but Bill. And then after a certain point, you know, I think, you know, after the first time I tell you, I'll give you an additional slip up.
Uh-huh.
And after that, I just ignore you.
Well, let me put you in the situation of being an African, right? Just like, all right. So, like my last name, I'm not going to say what my last name, what my full last name, but just put it this way. It ends with an S-O. Right. But for some strange reason, and it could be a doctor's appointment, you know, when you signing something in or whatever. But for some strange reason, people like to add an N to my last name. I don't know why. Like, there's no N. There's no reference of an N in my last name. It's not on my ID.
Son.
Yes. Son. And I'm like, I'm like, where do you see the N? Like, you'll call my name. I'm like, I look on the chart like I'm, you know, you want to check you spelled your name in correctly, right? You think like you see you're geeking. I look down, I'm like, nah, I spelled it right. I'm looking at my ID, it's spelled correctly. They don't even give you my full last name; they give you like the abbreviated last name. So I'm like, yeah, I think you're imagining things. Mm-hmm. You know, what I'm saying? It's crazy.
I get it.
It's crazy. But I mean, do you get? I guess this is my thing. Like for that, do you get? Like black folks calling you Bill, or is it more like white folks calling you Bill?
No, it's always white folks.
Exactly.
It's always white folks.
That's what I was to say. Because a black dude ain't gonna call you Bill. When they see William, they're gonna think Will.
Yeah, it's always in a corporate setting.
Exactly.
Bill. You know, I respectfully tell them after the first time,
man.
You call me William or Will. I don't go by Bill.
Oh, man. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our new Urban – well, it's not new anymore – our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the possible new team names for the Washington football team. See what I did there, Will? At 8:20, we'll discuss.
Appreciate that, sir.
We'll discuss Washington Wizards star Bradley Beal not taking part in the NBA restart. At 8:30, we'll discuss quarterback Patrick Mahomes' new deal. He's getting the bag. Finally, at 8:45, in the world of boxing, we'll talk about Vasily Lomachenko taking on Teofimo Lopez. Johnny Sig from Leave It in the Ring Radio will join us to discuss this. But first, with sponsors like Nike and Pepsi threatening to pull capital from FedEx due to the team's name, the Skins are now in the process to review the brand. It's been reported that there's a good chance that the team will change the name. If so, what should the change be?
First of all, we need to acknowledge something. We need to acknowledge the courage that I had 2 weeks ago to hold a discussion about why you and everyone else was wrong for using the name.
All right.
The first thing.
Okay.
So I'm joking about that.
I know.
I really don't have any thoughts about what a new name should be.
Okay.
I think that a new name should encapsulize, you know, something that honors Native Americans.
So you think they should go that route? They should still stick
no,
with
it? No, I think it should be something that honors Native Americans, but also provides a backstory about Washington, D.C.
Got you.
So I don't know how you do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which name is the best for that.
Mm-hmm.
One name that was thrown around that absolutely does neither one of them was Red Tails, which I know a lot of people are familiar with the Tuskegee Airmen.
Yeah, I think that's
and that was the name of their squadron.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to that.
Okay.
But if it's my preference, you know, since we've had a name for, I don't know, however long the football team has used that name, that was a slur against Native Americans, indigenous people, or Indians, whatever you want to call them. I think we should come with a name that celebrates their heritage, but also provides a sense of the history of the District of Columbia.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to, my whole thing is like, just try to stay. I mean, at first I was like, stay away from it, but it just seems like Native American names, because you just never know, you know, what can happen. To be real, which you just never know what can happen down the road. And also, it's like, you never know when you're dealing with a group, any group, you know what I mean? Even Red Tail, like that name, I was like, yeah, it's cool. And it sticks with the name. I mean, if you know the history of, you know, this Tuskegee, well, save me, man. I'm having a
Tuskegee
moment.
Tuskegee Airmen.
Thank you, Airmen. Thank you. It's like the history of that, and the, you know, there was a movie out based on it too as well. But you're dealing with a group anyway, a minority group. I just feel like just go something totally different. I mean, just, you can still try to stick with the color scheme. You can still try to stick with the like some of the things that, so it won't take a long, take hard in terms of, it wouldn't be hard in terms of branding and you know, still being able to keep the fan base, I guess, happy.
Far away from the,
oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me, Wilty? You hear me now?
Yes, I can.
It's
hear
probably
you.
Away from perfect. The phone. Sorry, my bad, man. Just something that you could, you know, stay. You want to keep some. You want to keep the color scheme to make it easy for like promotions and also, you know, in terms of like the whole turnaround, you want to keep things simple. And even the simplest HTTR hashtag, right? You want to keep something like, you want to keep that. You want to keep that in. You want to keep that on the table because it makes it easier in terms of rolling out your advertising scheme and whatnot, or even the theme of the team.
Well, we know that one team in this area, the Washington, at one time, the Washington Bullets, who were red, white, and blue. They went to the Wizards, and they went with kind of a orange and blue and black color. Then eventually are back to the original franchise colors, which are red, white, and blue. So we've seen a franchise in this area, you know, switch their branding and switch the color scheme. We don't know, you know, some people really were against it, you know, some people are definitely happy that they are back to the traditional red, white, and blue. I'm one of those people.
A lot of people are happy.
But anything that they do, I think there's two dynamics that need to you need to take into consideration. One, you don't need to rush the name change, because that's something, you know, the proper thing to do would be the owner, which I know is far-fetched and probably will not happen, for the owner to come out, hold a press conference, say, hey, I've seen the error in my ways. I've had this wrong for the 20 some odd years that I've owned this team. So the 2020 and 20 through 2021 NFL season will be the last year of us using this name. And then once you capitulated, you've held your press conference, and you actually allow media members to ask you questions about, you know, your thoughts on why you didn't change the name. Then you start to bring in your branding consultants. You work with the league. and you work with the Native American community, and then you also work with, then you also provide, have a voice from the community of the District of Columbia, mm-hmm. and then you collaborate on a name. The last thing I want to see is them rush to get a name before, you know, if they are able to get a good name, cool, that mm-hmm. works. But I just don't think you'll be hard pressed to come up with a proper name before the start of the season. That's one.
Okay.
Two, there's another dynamic, because we know that the minority owners of the football team, three minority owners, it's been reported in the Washington Post and ESPN and other news outlets, are in the process of trying to sell their shares mm-hmm. or their 40% stake in the company. Let's just get crazy here. Maybe Dan Snyder isn't the owner at the end of this season. Right.
Yeah.
So why would he want to come up with the name for the next generation or owner of this team without any stake from his minority owners?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think it's a process and it should take time. It shouldn't be rushed. The best thing he could do, mm-hmm. in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
is to come out, hold a news conference, let the world know just how he got it wrong, how he's sorry, how he's seen the error of his ways, and he's going to work with the Native American community, NFL, and then also citizens of the District of Columbia who this team represents, or mm-hmm. Or have, you know, a voice from the district, or people from the District of Columbia, and decide on the right name.
Yeah, I mean, he'll talk. I mean, I'm know he's in talks with the Native American community already. A lot of them. I mean, he has a there are a bunch of tribes that a few tribes that he's, you know, that the team is connected to. But I'm just like the whole process. It's going to take time. I feel like if they change the name now, like we're referring to with some of the minority owners, like the individuals who have shares in it, I feel like if they change the name now, most of them will come back. I mean, most of them will, if they can find a way to get it done quick enough, I think some of that talk and some of that noise will subdue, and they'll be fine. I know they just want to change now. Everybody wants this change to happen pretty quickly. Within the organization and some of the team, like I guess some of the minority owners. So in this situation, I know, like, yeah, like I agree with you in terms of you always want to take your time to pick the right name, right? Because you're setting a tone for the team. You want to pick the right name. But at the same time, like, it's to a point now where even for business, it may be better. They may be better suited to, like, get it done now. If you're the
Why
owner,
don't you just go by the Washington Football Club that season?
Yeah, it won't happen, man.
You don't think so?
Nah, that won't happen. It's going to be, they're going to get a name.
So let me ask you, so you don't think if Dan Snyder comes out, holds a press conference and says, you know, from this moment on, the name will no longer use that name.
Yeah.
The 2020 NFL season will be our last season using that name.
Yeah.
For this season, we would like to go by the Washington Football Club. But in 2021, this, because this gives us enough time for in 2021 to come up with a new name and decide if there's a need for new color scheme and new imaging and a new logo.
Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say it wouldn't work. I think that would work, but it's the same thing if you just come up with a name. And you know what I mean? If you take your, like, you could come up with a name now if you want. You can come up with a name now, right? And it would still have the same effect, right? I mean, like, the minority groups wouldn't leave. They would still stick with the team.
Do we know that? Do we know that for sure?
Yeah, that's the issue. Is the name with these groups? It's all the play.
No,
that's
the minority owners.
Well, yeah, minority owners. Sorry, the minority owners. Yeah, that's the play.
So you don't think that maybe?
Yeah.
The relationship has soured so much between Daniel Snyder and his three minority owners
because
they're just completely done.
No, because the team still makes money. Regardless of what people think,
it's all about money.
I
understand that one, mm-hmm. but in these type of situations in business, mm-hmm. it's all about relationship.
Yeah,
right. It's about relationship and perception.
Yes, I agree.
So there is a perception that Daniel Snyder is stubborn.
Yeah.
Arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
And hard to get along with.
Yeah.
There's been chatter for years that some of his other NFL owners really, he isn't,
they don't like
one him. Of the owners that they care about.
Yeah.
Right. And that's been, you know, that, and a great example of that is the fine that the team received for their, for circumventing the salary cap. One that, you know, the New York Giants did the same thing, but they weren't hit as harsh mm-hmm. with the penalty. Yeah. Right. And I believe there was another instance where there was something that, that Washington Dallas did. Dallas wasn't hit as hard with as harsh a penalty as Washington was. And there's another issue that I believe that John Moore, the owner of the Giants, had with Washington that I can't recall off the top of my head.
Yeah. I know what you're referring to about the Giants. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you don't believe that there's possibly a perception that he's hard to deal with, hard to get along with, and that the three minority owners just say, hey, we don't want to deal with this anymore. We don't want to be partners with him. Maybe we want to be partnered. Maybe we would like to own an NFL team. But if he is a voice at the table, that's something we just don't want.
I'm just going to tell you from what I've heard from reporters, from who I've talked to, that's the reason is about it's all about the name. So if they change the name, it's situated. That's why, to me, they're in a rush to even he's already leaning on certain names already that he's in favor of. He's talked to the Native American community in terms because he really wants to honor that community. That's the thing. But it's like, again, you know what I mean? You got to find the appropriate name. So once from what I've heard, once he comes up with the name, and that he feels that, one, he will talk to some of these minority owners because he's going to get some of their input and what they think feel about it. Everything else will be situated. It's a process within this short time frame, but at the same time, he wants to get this done ASAP.
I understand that, but
to answer your point, from
the outside looking in.
Yeah, but go ahead.
To
your point about, to be real with you, and to not being liked and this, that, and the other, like, he can do whatever and they won't like him. So to be real with you, he can come up to the podium. Again, it's a phobia of his, and I don't feel like you're talking about that, but like, he can say whatever, but it won't matter, right? Because we know this in life. If somebody don't like you, they don't like you. You can say whatever. They're going to say you think you're phony. So if it gets to a point where when you change the name and you do this and you do that, the show face, it don't even matter. If somebody don't like you, they don't like you. So and to be real with you, what could you do anyway?
Well, that's true, but maybe I'm not saying that, you know, the NFL would go full Jerry Richardson and say, hey, sell the team.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe this is just the beginning of more changes to come down the line for this team. That's what I think.
I mean, I hear you, man. I'm just telling you from what I've heard in terms of like the people I've chatted and talked to. So
look, because. And another thing that I think people aren't taking into consideration, and, you know, I don't mean to hog, you know, talk so much, but he's in the process of the stadium is about 20 something years old.
Yeah.
I still think it's a very functional stadium if the proper investment was made. Yes.
Yeah, agree.
If the proper investment was made around the stadium and also within the stadium to enhance the fan experience, but that's another subject for another time. The NFL really doesn't like its owners to finance a stadium because there's a precedent that will then be set that other municipalities and other jurisdictions won't vote, or the citizens of those municipalities and jurisdictions won't vote in favor of using public land and public dollars for a stadium. Let's just say Daniel Snyder isn't the most liked man. Washington, in the process of trying to get a new stadium, one of the conditions, or, you know, if he's trying to get a new stadium and people, and he doesn't have the greatest relationships with leaders of other municipalities around this area, that could affect him getting a stadium. And then I think the NFL would say, hey, maybe it's time for you to cash out and move on.
I mean, that's possible.
Rather than using your own money.
Yeah, that's possible. I feel like, you know, a lot of things good can happen. I mean, to be honest with you, with changing the name ASAP, like, you can get the ball rolling on getting this team in D.C., and that's a goal of theirs. So I think that they change the name, that would definitely, I mean, the chances of that happening is highly likely. And also, you know, in terms of break, like, promoting a new era, like, you know, you already got a new coach in Ron Rivera. He's pretty much, you know, playing the role of Bruce Allen too. You got AJ Smith as well. So you got a lot going on for this team in terms of saying, all right, you know what, it's a new era, and you know, with the name change, that all goes, you know, you can kind of group that all together to build this, you know, to build this team the right way.
It'll be interesting. Like I say, I think it's going to be an interesting next 6 to 18 months to see just how this all plays out.
Yeah, I tell you. Do you think anything positive can come from this, though?
Absolutely. One thing positive, one thing positive for sure is a new name change. Uh-huh. That's one. Second thing, if the minority owners truly do want to get away from being owners of that team and working with Daniel Snyder, if there's new ownership, there's an opportunity for actual minorities to be minority owners of the team, meaning someone African-American, Asian, Latino to be a minority owner of this team also, in addition with be one a minority owner of this team. So I think there are a couple things positive that can come out of this situation.
Yeah, I want to correct you.
And it would definitely invigorate the fan base.
Yeah, definitely. And with correction, I said AJ Smith. I mean, Kyle Smith. That's his son. AJ Smith is his father. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot, you know, going on that you can. There's a lot of things you can do to kind of change morale. I mean, that can help change morale with the name change. But it's like Will said. You know, the next few months will be very interesting. Bill is going to the NBA to go into the NBA Orlando Resort. Not really. We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
The Agents.
You dig?
Deuces.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Will T, or Bill. I mean, he's joking around, but, you know, I had to mess with him. Ray's out. Hold on, let me patch Will in. I know we're doing the social distancing thing, so I always got to patch him in. So that always takes a little time. Will T, you there,
yes,
right?
Sir.
My man. All right. The Washington Wizards shooting guard Bradley Beal has decided to not go to the NBA restart in Orlando due to a shoulder injury. Your thoughts?
Good idea.
Yeah, right.
I did.
I know, right?
Let's be honest. The prospects of this team currently constructed, gaining the AC and doing anything meaningful in the playoffs was slim to none. Mm-hmm. And I'm leaning towards the side of none. Bradley Beal is a guy who's had multiple injuries over the course of his career. With the level of play accelerating so fast, going from almost 0 to 100, you know, meaning with those 8 games would almost in essence be a play, you know, pretty much be 1 game playoff series for the Wizards, just to get the A seed. And then you would have to face Milwaukee, with his injury history. It's a good call because this team isn't going anywhere. And this will only provide their shot at a higher lottery pick.
I agree. I don't want to be redundant to what you just said because I agree with everything you did say. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. So if this is an actual NBA season, does he sit out? Like, this was an NBA season, right? And they're at this point. Would Bradley Beal has sit out at this portion of the season?
I don't think so.
Yeah, me either.
I'll take it a step further. If this team had the 4th seed in the East, I don't think he sits out.
Oh, okay.
If this team was in the top four in the East, I don't think Bradley Beal sits out. But without Davis, Bertans.
Bertans.
No John Wall. Mm-hmm. Bertans, yeah. Mm-hmm. No John Wall. The load that Bradley Beal would have to shoulder by himself, you know, and then him having to, you know, get himself in basketball shape so quickly in that level of competition for just to, you know, not get the eighth seed in the East. I think it's a great call by him. Smart call by him and the organization. And this gives the opportunity for you to evaluate the other players on that roster. Let's see what Mo Wagner can do.
He can ball, man.
Let's see how Roy Hachimura can do.
Yeah, good point. Like that's a good point to see what Roy Hachimura can do. Definitely, because if Rui Hachimura is the featured player, then we can pretty much put all of his skill sets out. We can see all of his skill set, right? Because he's featured more. So having a player like Bradley Beal, right, sit out. Does that hurt the brand of the NBA restart? Like, it makes it seem like it's a asterisk type of season.
No, not at all. You still have LeBron, Kawhi, Giannis. You have young, up-and-coming, emerging stars such as Jason Tatum, Zion Williamson, Ja Morant. You still have one of the best players in the NBA who will be fighting for the eighth seed in the West, and Damian Lillard. Mm. So you still have a lot of star power. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, I don't care what anyone says, you can't put an asterisk by this championship.
Okay.
This will be the toughest championship because, one, no team will have home court advantage, and two, you're playing under the backdrop of COVID-19. Which at any point can truly change any team's roster when they get down to Orlando. So I, myself personally, everyone's saying that there'll be an asterisk by whoever wins this championship. No, this will be the toughest championship for any team that any team will have won possibly in the history of the NBA.
I do think to the points you've made, you have valid. I mean, you're right. It's going to be tough in different elements, but I do think it'll be an asterisk season. To me, you have so many players. You're not going to get even players on important title teams, right? You're right that, you know, you got a lot of stars, so I agree with you. But at the same time, you got some really valuable role players who, you know, are deciding to sit it out, you know what I mean, because of COVID-19 and what, you know what I mean, or, you know, they just don't feel comfortable playing in that environment. You know, like the Lakers, Avery Bradley not playing. He may not be a superstar, but that's big for what he does for that team. And they, I mean, they signed J.R. Smith, but it's a different dude. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, defense. You see what Patrick Beverley is to that Clippers team, right? So that it's a valuable player, and he's not the only one. Like, there's multiple players that are will be missed. You know what I'm saying?
I totally agree with you. Avery Bradley, when you look at the stat sheet, his impact won't be, you know, for the casual fan. They won't be able to see, you know, they'll see, you know, 4 points. No, they'll probably, they would see like 7 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, and say, you know, that's easily replaceable. But what he brings, the ball handling, the ability to switch on one through three off the pick and roll, his championship, you know, his experience in playing the championship series, his toughness, those are things that aren't easily replaceable.
Yeah. So it's just like some of these players who are sitting out, it's like, dang, you're not getting them at their full level. And I'm trying to think of other teams. I'm not trying to use the Lakers because I'm a Lakers fan. I'm trying to use like other players who decided not to play under the conditions, who are on a playoff team, right? Or a playoff.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah, he is. I mean, yeah, that's true. What about a player that's on a championship contender? I'm trying to think of another one. I just can't think of one.
I can't think of another guy on the championship.
Yeah, I'm trying to be fair. Like a player that's on a championship contender who decided to not play because of COVID. But but I'm with you though. The environment does make it difficult. I also have an issue. Like I've said this before, it's like not you know, not having that crowd support, like that, not having that audience, right, may like wean out some of these players who get scared when they get booed or, you know, over a hostile crowd. They could, you know, they're not as clutch now with no, you know, no annoying crowds or, you know, those little things. When you're shooting free throws, people throwing things in the air, that stuff doesn't distract you, right? So now you're able to kind of focus a little bit more, right? So I'm kind of, yeah, like, my thing is, like that may make it easy for some of these ballers who you know, get scared under the lights, put it that way.
Something as simple as sleeping in your own bed, having your family, your support system around you.
That's right. Yeah,
that's major.
Yeah,
that's
true.
That's big.
That's true.
That's something that they won't have, you know, playing in the bubble in Orlando.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. All right, man. Pat Mahomes got that real bag. We'll discuss it after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I know about that player circle. You know what I'm saying? That's 2 Chainz when his name was something else. All right, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy's out. Kansas City Chiefs signed quarterback Patrick Mahomes to a 10-year extension worth up to $503 million, bruh. And $477 million in guarantee mechanisms. Thoughts on the Mahomes big deal, Will T? Let me patch you in real quick. I had to read that first. Hold on. There we go. Got it. Will T, thoughts on that deal?
Patrick Mahomes had 2 things that were important to him that he stated. One was security, and the second was chasing the dynasty. With the duration or the length of this contract, this provides him that. And the way that the guarantee mechanisms are set up, where his 2023 roster bonus would be guaranteed in 2021, this provides that to him. I'm not going to criticize and say whether this was the right contract for him or not. Patrick Mahomes, from my indications, got all the things that he wanted and thought that were important to him. Having said that, Kirk Cousins is somewhere shaking his head saying, y'all just don't pay attention.
Yeah, man. Do it little by little, right? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Do it little by little.
3 years at a time and make sure they guarantee every dollar.
Yeah, that's true. Kirk Cousins' agent's a G. He a G, but man.
That's not something Patrick Mahomes necessarily may have wanted or he may have been able to get with the dollar amount that he wanted from Kansas City. So, you know, that's what negotiations are. You got to give and take.
Maybe they didn't trust his situation in terms of staying healthy for like 3 years. I mean, he has been banged up a little bit. Last season he was banged up a little bit. And his style of football is a little bit more.
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now, right?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Maybe his style of play, you know, the way he plays football, you know, Kirk Cousins is a little bit more cautious, right? Patrick Mahomes isn't as cautious in terms of how he plays football. He's willing to take a little bit more risk. So maybe he's like, you know what? Let me get that stability on the long end. I don't know. in terms of not getting just the 3 years. Maybe I can try to, but not Kirk Cousins. This is guaranteed for three straight. It's 3 years guaranteed, right? Period.
All of Kirk Cousins'
his money is just straight, flat out guaranteed. Well, yeah.
His first contract that he received, which was 3 years at $84 million. All of that was guaranteed,
yeah.
But they just renegotiated this contract. Mm. So I believe.
I think it's guaranteed again, all right? I swear.
I don't think all of it's guaranteed. I believe over the next 2 years, I believe $66 million of it is guaranteed that time. To me, the most important thing is what's guaranteed at signing.
Yeah, that's the most important thing to me. But did they even come out with that?
With what?
A Patrick Mahomes guarantee, his signing bonus?
I believe he got $63 million guaranteed at signing. Yes.
Yeah.
So he received a $63 million check yesterday.
That's still tough, though.
It is. I think he received, and to put that in the frame of reference, I believe that he received $2 million more than Ryan Tannehill. When Ryan Tannehill signed his new deal.
His new deal with the Titans?
Yeah. And guaranteed dollars at signing.
Oh, well, that's a whole different argument then.
Yeah, that's why I said, I'm not going to sit here and debate and say, you know, Patrick Mahomes was a fool for signing this contract, or Patrick Mahomes hit it out the park for signing this contract. No, there were things that Patrick Mahomes told his agents that were important to him, mm-hmm. and that he's told us, the public.
Yeah.
First thing was security. The second thing was the ability to chase a dynasty. The way, you know, from the parameters that I've seen of this contract,
yeah,
this would allow him to do that.
I mean,
and
yeah.
So to me, it's a success for Patrick Mahomes, and I'm happy for him.
So what quarterback do you see that, you know, that's young, that's contract that's coming up, that can get a deal similar to Patrick Mahomes if they desire to?
That's going to get something similar. I'm gonna tell you, he's going to get more.
You gonna say Dak?
Dak Prescott.
He better not.
Yes, he will.
He better not, man. He's not a Super.
Why wouldn't
he? Ain't a Super Bowl champ.
So here's the thing. No, so here's the thing about Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes had to give some because Patrick Mahomes still had 2 years on his contract.
Yeah,
he had he had this upcoming year, which I think is $2.4 million. And then he had his fifth year option, which I believe was $25 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So he was still, and then he could have been tagged two or three times. So realistically, Patrick Mahomes could have been locked into the Chiefs without being able to hit the open market for the next 5 years.
Mm.
Dak Prescott is a, He's been tagged, and he signed his tag this year.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott will probably be tagged next year.
Oh, okay, you're talking about, okay.
Yes.
Two tags.
And then after that, there'll probably be some type of arbitration, or will they have the ability to tag him a third time?
Got you.
So that's the difference between Dak Prescott and Patrick Mahomes, and this is why I'm saying that Dak Prescott will get a contract in the terms of average dollars, that's possibly eclipses Patrick Mahomes.
But we're assuming that he continues to play at this particular level, right?
Yes, if he continues, this is all assuming if he continues to play at this particular level.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then
if we're truly being honest and we look at that Dallas Cowboys football team,
he's supposed to be.
That's a football team that's built to win a Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. So this is the thing. Like, and it's just like the arc, depending on where you want to go in the conversation, right? And you look at I said this with the skin situation with Kirk at the time back then. When you look at, and I'm looking at in terms of having DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, right? You're supposed to put up numbers when you have receivers like that with a healthy Jordan Reed. You're supposed to put up numbers. But, you know, it didn't really translate into, you know, winning a bunch of football games. You got to the postseason, but you didn't do what you thought you could have done in the regular season. I mean, maybe winning a playoff game or whatnot. But you look at the Dallas Cowboys, right? And they're stacked, mm-hmm. right? When you look at every element of what you need on an offense, right? They got it. Like other than the tight end, but they got it, right? You got Amari Cooper. You have Galloway. Now you have now you got CeeDee Lamb, right? That's your young up and coming wide receiver. You got Ezekiel Elliott. Like, you have and you have a good offensive line, right? You have everything. Mm-hmm. You have everything. So if you don't say you still do what the Cowboys have done in years past, right? Do you reward that? You know, if you're just putting up numbers, because that team is not built to just put up numbers. That team is built to make a run.
It's a team that's built to make a run, but this is the thing. Let's say he goes and he still has another 5,000 yard season with a 3-1 touchdown and interception ratio,
mm-hmm.
and the team is 10-6 and they flame out in the second round, in the divisional round of the playoffs. You're still going to have to tag him again.
True.
Right?
True.
And if he comes back and he puts up better numbers or similar numbers that he's done the past two seasons, let's see. Deshaun Watson's going to be up for a contract.
See, I think that dude may get a bag. So I think he's due. Like, I think he can get close. Because they have nobody else to pay but him. Like, he can get close.
Deshaun Watson will be up, and if we're looking another 2 to 3, you know, another 2 years from now, Kyler Murray will be completed his third year, depending on
his growth
trajectory. Russell Wilson signed this offseason for 4 years, so his contract will be halfway completed, and then you forget Lamar Jackson.
That's the one. That's the one.
It seriously behooves Jerry Jones to give Dak Prescott. I'm not going to say give him everything he wants, but it behooves him to give him most of the things he wants from a financial perspective on this contract right now, because there are 3 or 4 quarterbacks that are going to come along and they're going to reset the market, and then the average dollars for a car. Of new money on a quarterback contract will be significantly higher 2 or 3 years from now.
Oh yeah,
Dak Prescott to me, he looks like he's playing the Kirk Cousins the long game, betting on himself.
Yeah, hopefully he banks like Kirk did. But you're right though. I mean, he should put up numbers with the offensive weapons he has. He should put up numbers. All right,
not only put up numbers, possibly win a Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. But you see, he had to, and that's the thing. Like, he has to. That's what he has to. Not say win a Super Bowl, but he has to have better. They can't not make the postseason with everybody being hurt. Like when on the Eagles team, and the Eagles made the postseason over them. You know what I'm saying? With that type of talent. I guess that's where I'm coming from. Like, if you want that money, because the Kansas City Chiefs have talent. Like, they have a bunch of talent, and you know, you just put a talented quarterback within that talent, and you see what happens with that. Like, he's consistently in the run to, you know, vie for a championship or, you know, or an MVP, you know what I'm saying? Consistently. And he has talent.
He does, but I think and this is not me bashing Jason Garrett by any means, but I think there's a perception for me, and there's a belief for some, that Jason Garrett was the guy that was holding that whole shit back. Jason Garrett's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Mike McCarthy's in, mm-hmm. a guy who's won a Super Bowl before, a guy who's done wonders with quarterbacks.
True.
I think that the bar only, you know, as far as the amount of money that you have to pay Dak Prescott only goes up.
Yeah, it could. It sure could. All right. Lomachenko Lopez will be going down. Johnny Sigg from Leave It in the Ring Radio will join us after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Competition, I'm towering, wrecking shop. When I drop these lyrics that'll make you call the cops.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, myself, Wole. Ray Jeezy is out. What y'all know about, you know, LL Cool J, Mama Said Knock You Out. I'm going to knock you out. Classics, man. It's always the best thing to put for boxing, man. You know, that reminds me of Mike Tyson back in the day. All right. So right now we have Johnny Sig from Leave It in the Ring Radio on the line. What's going on, Johnny?
What's up, guys? Thank you guys for having me on. How you all doing today?
Doing great, Johnny. Love the energy.
Well, we're doing great, man. Well, Johnny is solid with this, man. He's solid. All right, Johnny, let's get to business, man. Let's get down to business. WBO, WBA, and WBC lightweight champion Vasily Lomachenko is tentatively scheduled to fight IBF lightweight champion Teofimo Lopez September 19th. Is this a dangerous fight for Lomachenko?
It could be. You got to look at the track record of Lomachenko's amateur background. Over 400 fights. You know, and I think it's very indicative when we see that he's only had, as a pro in 7 years, 15 total fights. So I think his management is trying to chill him out a little bit, because that's a lot of wear and tear. That's a huge amateur background, but that said, background could be very good for you. Now, for Teofimo Lopez, we've seen him recently just beat Richard Comey, who is an awesome fighter, in my opinion, a dangerous fighter, and Teofimo Lopez dismissed him really quickly. So the one thing I have a concern with Teofimo is, even though he's younger, he's an admitted asthmatic. So there's a nice little intangible here. One guy's 10 years older in Lomachenko, and one guy's 10 years younger in Teofimo Lopez, and they both have a little bit of a handicap.
Will T?
Well, let me ask you this, Johnny. With that handicap, and, you know, because of COVID-19, I'm pretty sure neither one of these fighters has been able to train and condition as they normally would. Who do you think the long break affects more?
Well, that's a great question. That's a great question. I was actually going to bring up is, like, how much did the pandemic affect these fighters? You know, I mean, Lomachenko's a little bit older, Teofimo's a little bit younger, but they've all been on the shelf. And Teofimo, from what I understand, and I've read interviews, has not really been, he's been active and trying to work out at home and quarantining himself, but he's not in gyms because he's an asthmatic, which makes him very susceptible to the condition.
Yeah.
So it depends on who's training better. I mean, with this fight, for me, we got to look at, you know, styles makes fight. Lomachenko's a southpaw, Teofimo's conventional. You look at Teofimo's track record, 15-0, 12 KOs, nice power, but against different opposition. Lomachenko had the better opposition at 14-1 with 10 KOs. Does that southpaw stance affect Teofimo Lopez? This is a great fight. We have a 10-year difference. You know, we have guys that have good amateur backgrounds and pedigree and great training. So I'm looking forward to this. I think this is a fight that will light boxing fire back.
Do you think they're rushing it, trying to have it September 19th, knowing that what we're going through right now?
I think it is a little bit, but if we look at what the UFC is doing, they're being very ambitious, and I think we all got to, you know, be safe, of course, take the necessary precautions, but, you know, also we got to live our lives, and people need to earn.
Mm-hmm.
And the UFC has put on some really great cards, and boxing, you know, my man Adam Lopez just fought recently against Luis Correa in a great fight, you know, on Top Rank. But boxing needs names. The UFC is delivering. If we look at what's going on Fight Island, coming up with Usman, coming up against Masvidal, and then Poirier versus Hooker recently, UFC 249, we have top names there. So I think boxing needs to take a little bit more chances, but these fighters get paid better, hence why I don't think they do.
Well, let me ask you this, Johnny. If, you know, as Wally alluded to, you know, September 19th is about 2 months away. If this fight goes off without a crowd, how do you think that changes the strategy or the preparation for either one of these fighters?
That's a great question. I mean, you know, you come out there and you play off the crowd if you're a musician, an athlete of any sort, and then if you don't have it, you know, it can deflate you. And that's a big factor, I think, in a lot of these fights. It's almost like a spar when you're in a sparring session. You know, you still, once the bell rings, a fight's a fight. you know. And when I've been in gyms before, hearing the floorboards move around and but the leather slap, and you know, if they film it the right way on TV, which I believe they have, if they keep the camera tight, you as a fan will not think about the crowd. But as a fighter, it's almost like they get in the ring, someone puts their hands on you, hopefully they defend themselves. So I think it will affect them, but not to a degree that's so crazy.
You're listening. Go, Wilson.
No.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We are chatting with Johnny Sigg from Leave It in the Ring Radio. Now, Wilson, go.
Yeah, thank you. Because of the level of competition that Lomachenko was faced previously, he's fought Jorge Linares. He's fought DMV's own Gary Russell Jr. A high level of competition. Do you think that at all gives him the slightest of edges coming into this fight?
Yeah, I think the experience, I mean, especially that loss to Salido, because sometimes even if you lose, you know, you learn a lot from that. And that was only his second pro fight. And Salido has all the tricks in the book and one of my favorite fighters to watch. And then you saw him against Nicholas Walters, who was a very good fighter at his time, you know, and he also beat Guillermo Rigondeaux, Gary Russell. So, yeah, the experience level there. I mean, for me, the best fights that Teofimo was in was against Diego Magdaleno and Richard Colme. He's a kid learning on the job a little bit, similar to what Lomachenko did. And Lomachenko has great craft and good conditioning. Now, how old is those 32 years of age? I mean, you look at all those fights, 400 amateur fights, that's a lot. And as we've seen in boxing, fellas, you can get old overnight. So I think that's the key. If Lomachenko's fresh and still has youth, he's good.
So go ahead.
Let me ask you a follow-up question regarding Lomachenko. About a year ago, Lomachenko had a shoulder surgery for a torn rotator cuff. I recently had, almost 2 years ago, I had a similar surgery. That surgery, it takes a lot. As far as range of motion and power, it takes a while for you to get that back. Do you think a long layoff benefits Lomachenko from that aspect, or do you think it's a detriment to him because he hasn't been able to train as much and rehab, you know, in the process of training, doing some of the rehab with necessary exercise to strengthen that shoulder?
I think it's a huge benefit to him. He gets to relax. You know, you should have some kind of stretching. I'm sure he's doing some kind of therapy, but the fact that he gets to relax, like similar to how I feel about Deontay Wilder when he comes back, you know, against Tyson Fury, like he's getting time to relax. Whatever the excuses and conditions were for why he lost that fight, he gets the time to put himself back together again, you know? So exactly. Humpty Dumpty gets put back together again, you know? So it will relax you, and I think that that's always a good thing, especially as you age. Because, fellas, I'm 41 years old. We all know that when we pull something, we tear something, it takes a while to get put back together again.
Lord knows. Johnny, do you feel that Lopez is Lomachenko's toughest opponent?
There is no doubt in my mind.
Oh, wow, okay.
He's going to deal with a lot there, yeah. Teofimo throws. He throws hard with conviction. He will come to fight. That's his most dangerous opponent.
Ooh.
Outside of Salido. Salido was definitely, especially considering he fought him in his second pro fight, very dangerous.
Wow, okay. Looking at Lopez's point of view, does he think to himself, hey, Linares knocked down Lomachenko, like, I can get him? Does that come in his mind? Like, I have power. Like, Linares has not knocked Lomachenko down. Like, I can get him. Do you think that plays in his mind a little bit?
It absolutely does. And obviously, you know, he can be dropped. He's been hurt before in the past, Lomachenko. The problem is, though, he don't want to go there and just go, you know, for broke. Because the style and angles of Lomachenko, if you miss, you're going to pay. And it's going to fatigue you. So he's going to have to find a way to set that up. And again, that southpaw stance and those angles and that style of Lomachenko, if Teofimo goes in there just looking for a KO, he's going to get in trouble. He's got to make it come naturally.
So do you also, in terms of promoting, like, do you want to see, I mean, because we're in July now, do you want to see a better job in promoting this fight? Because, like, I agree with you. This should be a big-time promoted fight.
Yeah, I think boxing in general, and it's my favorite sport, but I also criticize it heavily because, you know, I view it and I love it and I think it could be better, especially now during these times. Mm. They should certainly be promoting things, and we should start seeing, I would hope, you know, more A-level guys step up to the dance. I do commend those, however, that the names that we don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sit there and poo-poo on people, you know, because they're out there and they're putting their family and their health and themselves Definitely. At risk. You know, so I got to give them props. But I'd like to see boxing in general, you know, the zone start showing more stuff. ESPN start doing more things. Yeah, so I think that, you know, I think the sport needs to be presented better now that we're moving forward with our lives.
Well, Johnny, man, I love having you on, man. You know this. Last time you were on, we talked about Deontay Wilder. I forgot which that is. Deontay Wilder fight.
I got to eat my pro on that one.
So we talked about Deontay. So before I let you go, man, how can folks catch your show, and how can they hit you up on social media?
Check me out, Boxing Music John on Twitter, and also Leave It in the Ring Radio Network. Just type in at Leave It in the Ring, and you'll not only find me, you'll find all the great shows that are on the network, and I appreciate you guys having me on. It's always an absolute blast. And now that we have more time on our hands, whatever you guys want to have me on, I'll be more than
welcome. Oh, Johnny,
to come through,
guys. Anytime. Anytime, bro. Anytime.
What are you guys doing next Tuesday?
I don't know what to talk about. I got to plan it out correctly. If I could find an angle, I got you.
I got some ideas.
Well, all right, tweet me. Hit me on my DM. We can just talk about it.
I will, fellas. Right, thank you for having me on, guys.
Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate
you. Thank you, Johnny. We appreciate your time, man.
Anytime.
All right, take care.
Thank you. Yep, you too.
Mm-hmm. All right, man, that's Johnny Sigg from Leave It in the Ring Radio Network. Make sure you check him out. Make sure you check him out on Twitter, like he said, and also, you know, check out his podcast. So you can it's all on where, you know, you can catch a podcast on any of these podcast platforms. So make sure you subscribe. Well, team, man, another banging show, man. Appreciate it. Appreciate you being on, man,
yeah, no
as always.
Problem, man. Listen, I'm the Iron Man of this, man.
All right, Cal Ripken, I see you, bro.
I'm not going to miss too many shows.
All right,
man. Unlike my counterpart.
Oh, my man, Cal Ripken. Just that's joking. What I'm going to call you. That's what I'm going to call you, Cal Ripken.
All right. I'll definitely be on next week, you know. As we always say, you know, next week could take care of itself.
Definitely.
If we know anything, stories are always presented and it's often a backdrop to sports. So
exactly.
Look forward to it.
Agreed, man. All right, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search The Urban Sports. And also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. All right, man. You've been listening to The Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
A mega. Lead us out, big homie. Thank you.